Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Muddy Knees Media.
This Christmas slash Hanukkah slash Winterval slash holiday season, The Athletic wants you to bog off. Because when you buy one annual subscription, you'll get another one for free. And similarly, when you gift a year's subscription, you can get one for yourself at no extra cost. So wave goodbye to 2020 and say hello to 2021 by sharing the gift of The Athletic's unrivaled football coverage, with analysis and in-depth features from the very best writers around, exclusive Q&As with Athletic staff, and ad-free versions of all of The Athletic's podcasts, including this one. Find out more and sign up today at theathletic.com/totally.
Totally Football Show, European edition. Today, Champions League. All set for the most dramatic group finale since Destiny's Child. Man United, Leipzig, Gladbach, Madrid and Inter, Ajax and Atalanta. Big names that could fall this week. Also, we'll be talking Berlusconi, Balotelli and boating in B. Is it his best idea since Bunga Bunga? Leo Messi on the dole and much, much more in this Totally Football Show in association with Paddy Power. And hello, continentally minded listener. Very warm welcome to you to Totally Football Show's Euro edition. It is the 8th of December. If you're sitting comfortably, let's get this show on the road with our friends Alvaro Romeo.
Hello, guys.
James Horncastle.
Hey, James.
Raphael Honigstein.
Hello, James.
And Julien Laurence.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Woo! There they are. Alrighty. Everyone good? Everyone have a good weekend?
Excellent.
Very good.
Good one.
Yeah, all right. And we're all agog for what looks like being a particularly tasty final set of match day fixtures in the group stages of the Champions League. Is this just recency bias, or is this a particularly kind of cliffhangery final round of games? What do you think?
Well, there's a couple of groups where it's definitely like that. There are lots of other groups where it is absolutely not like that.
All right.
certainly the one with Real Madrid, Shakhtar and Inter and Gladbach in it, because it is a four-team tussle. I don't know. Opta will know better than I do as to when there was the last time that four teams from one group could progress on the final match day. That feels particularly improbable.
Yeah. Group H as well. Three teams in the mix there. And we'll be talking about those, of course. Lots of Champions League chat, lots of other things to come as well. But let's begin, if you would, with your moments of the weekend. Rafa.
The moment of the weekend has to be Silas Vamangituka scoring the slowest, longest goal you're ever likely to see this season.
Jetzt die Gelegenheit, Riesenbock!
War abgepfiffen.
Nein! Was macht er? Schieß ihn rein! Der nimmt doch Zeit von da und schießt ihn an ins Tor! Tor!
2-0 für den VfB!
Yeah, there was a mix-up in the Werder Bremen defence, and the Stuttgart striker just went through, and it was one of those moments where you just wait for him basically to kneel down and head it over the line, or maybe do a little keepy-uppy. But he just waited and waited and waited and waited, and then finally shot it in. And Davy Selke and a couple of other Werder Bremen players not happy about this slow roll.
Yeah, it was the way that he waited on the goal line for a defender to actually get there before just tapping it in anyway that was a bit teasing.
Could have been worse. Do you remember Paul George Entep when he was at Rennes, who actually stopped the ball on the line, kneeled down and headed in with his head on the floor? That's even more humiliating than what Silas did.
Mm. What was your moment of the weekend, Jules?
I would go for Kylian Mbappe scoring his 100th goal of his PSG career after only 137 games. I mean, the best goal of the night was Moise Kean, who scored an absolute world-class goal to make it 2-1 for PSG. But I guess significantly that 100th goal also because I think mentally he waited on Mbappe in Mbappe's mind, really. He was waiting for it. So it's good that he finally finally scored it.
Right. 100 goals now. And how many? 137
games.
Is that including all the ones he scored in the Champions League in this last year? Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, exactly. As he said after the game, now I want to score in the Champions League. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that.
All right. Well, big game for PSG coming up against Başakşehir. Alvaro, your moment of the weekend.
Yes, it has to be. Cádiz beating Barcelona. Let's don't forget that Cádiz is a newly promoted side. After 15 years in the lower divisions, they are back in La Liga. And this season they have beaten Real Madrid already. And Barcelona now, in a game that actually they... I would say that they deserve the 3 points against Barcelona because they defended really well. And they managed to beat Barcelona with an 18% possession, which is something that normally doesn't happen.
That's certainly true.
In what other league would you see that, Graham Souness said, after watching Spurs beat Arsenal in the North London derby with, what, 30% possession? I don't know. Maybe La Liga, Graham.
Perhaps. What about in Serie A? What would you see there, James?
It's got to be the bus ride back from Genoa to Milan. AC Milan going back to the top of the table, plus five, and singing, Pioli's on fire, Juve and Inter terrified. It was brilliant. I'd never thought I'd see that song adapted in Italy, and yet the Milan players have indulged us. So thank you very much.
Wow. When was the last time you heard a group of professional players serenading their own manager?
No idea, James.
Yeah, no, got nothing. All right. Well, loads of stories to bring you, listener. So stay with us as we romp through all the weekend's news and the midweek games. Let's begin, because it is a key night in the Champions League on Tuesday, with the big game in Leipzig.
The Totally Football Show European Edition's Moment of the Weekend, brought to you by Paddy Power. Defences may be looking shaky at the moment, but Paddy's offers are rock solid. If one leg of your 4-plus-fold ACCA lets you down, get a free bet. Max free bet £10, minimum odds 1 to 5 per leg. Online exclusive, no shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Yep, Group H, Man United, Paris Saint-Germain, RB Leipzig, they're all on 9 points. Başakşehir all the way down in last place with 3. And Man United taking on Leipzig. Now, Rafa, we had a bit of a chat on Sunday night for Monday's show about Man United's prospects. First of all, let's go a little bit more into the extraordinary match on Saturday that Leipzig had in preparation for this when they went to Bayern Munich.
It was extraordinary, James. Leipzig hadn't scored in Munich before in the Bundesliga, and they scored 3 goals, but it still wasn't quite enough to win the game. And the 4th consecutive draw between the two sides. And you can look at spectacle and great football and great goals, or you can look at some pretty ropey defending, especially from Bayern, who played their usual game and were very, very open to the counter-attack because the passing wasn't very good, the gegenpressing wasn't very good, and then they made sort of individual mistakes in the box. So a combination of really a lot of things going wrong. Leipzig played a mostly reactive game, I think, conserving energy. Julian Nagelsmann was even able to make some substitutions in the second half, thinking about Tuesday's game. So I don't think they'd be nearly as knackered as Bayern looked. But they still have some problems defending themselves. So it's not the easiest of propositions, I think, to play against a Man United team that are so good on the break and that will force you to have possession. Leipzig, I don't think, will be able to play the game that they played fairly well in Munich, because Man United want to play that game against Leipzig.
From Bayern's point of view, Jamal Musiala coming off the bench after 25 minutes and scoring an absolutely brilliant goal. That's his second of the season for Bayern, is that right?
It is, and this was a really good goal. Bayern worked it just outside the box, and he just smashed it in from a... tight angle, as far as you know, the amount of goal or the portion of the goal that he could aim at was very small, but he managed to squeeze it past Gulashi with real power and precision, and it was a beautiful goal. He didn't look out of place at all in this game. Of course, defensively, you know, not quite Javi Martinez category, but his distribution, his movement, his passing was all very beautiful. And for a 17-year-old, I think it was very, very impressive to play 60 minutes against Leipzig and look absolutely fine in midfield.
Straight out of Croydon, Jamal Musiala. James.
Raf, were you expecting Musiala to make this kind of an impact at Bayern? Because as James mentions, he's already got a goal this season before the Leipzig game. And do you think the way things are falling for him, Martinez can't stay fit, Kimmich's out injured, Thiago Alcantara is no longer there. Do you think he's got a real opportunity to establish himself in that Bayern Munich midfield?
I mean, for the time being, for sure. I think once Joshua Kimmich will come back and Tolisso will come back and maybe Mark Rocca can, you know, find form and recover from his injury, I think his time would be limited. But Hansi Flick has taken him up to the Bayern team late last season and the senior team and felt that he is ready to play at this level. And he's made another step up in terms of the progress in the last few weeks. And I think that for him, the sky seems to be the limit. There is internally a lot of hype and optimism about him that people really think he's the real deal. But I think Flick and Bayern would be very careful not to, you know, push him too much too early. But he seems to have already done more than I think most people expected when he came initially, because he was actually seen as not quite ready enough to play for the stronger of the two youth teams that he joined. Most big clubs have two sections of youth teams, slightly older ones, slightly younger ones, and he was put in with the slightly younger ones. But then within the space of 12 months, went all the way from the under-17s to the seniors. His progress was so rapid in those 12 months.
I have to say that the best assist I've seen this weekend has to be Haidara's in Justin Kluivert's goal. That was unbelievable, the way he cushioned the ball. He basically invented an assist where there wasn't an assist. Many players over there, they just collapse or they shoot, and they found one of the nicest passes leading to goal that I've seen definitely this weekend. It was amazing, really.
It was a little dink or a little chip.
Very nice. All three Bayern goals assisted by Kingsley Coman. Leroy Sané, Rafa, a bit of a disappointment, is that right?
He was. He didn't quite look as effective as Kingsley Coman, which perhaps is understandable because Coman has been out of this world for the last few months. But Bayern want more from him. They want more energy from Sané. They want more goals, more threat in the final third. And the game sort of passed him by. And I don't think it's necessarily the biggest issue at the moment, but defensively, he seemed very reluctant to help out. And in a game where Bayern were frequently sort of caught out, the fact that you have this one guy kind of walking back 60 meters away from the defense was sort of sticking out perhaps more clearly than in other games. And Flick, after this game, didn't go into specifics, but before the game and before a few other games, had actually called out Sané's behaviour, saying, or application, saying, oh, he still needs to learn a lot to be a Bayern player. We need to get more from him when we work against the ball, as we say in Germany. So I don't want to suggest that there's a, you know, a massive crisis or problem, but certainly I think the need for him to step up and to add another dimension to his game, which is missing at the moment.
Okay. Well, the 3-3 draw leaves Bayern now 1 point ahead of Bayer Leverkusen, who moved up into second, a point ahead of Leipzig. Leipzig now focus on Tuesday night's clash with Man United. 5-0, United beat them at Old Trafford. Why, Rafa? Why might this time be different?
Well, the 5-0 could have been different. And I think that's a point that Julian Nagelsmann made. Up until 71 minutes or so, Leipzig looked at least equal. Perhaps they were slightly the better team. They had a lot of possession. What they struggled with was creating clear-cut chances in the final third. And then they were hit on the break and then completely collapsed in the last few minutes. And United did this thing, which they have done also in the Premier League, which is to score in bursts, where, you know, in a game that they actually don't look very good in, they find three or four moments where the pace and the movement up front is just too much for the opposition. So it's a difficult one. Leipzig having to win the game and United needing only a point, it's actually set up for United to play their usual game. And they've played it very well in Europe, especially away from home.
So apart from when they went to Turkey.
Apart from they went to Turkey when they conceded one of the funniest goals of the season. Certainly in the Champions League. So it's going to be difficult. I think Leipzig need to make sure that they have a lot of balance, and it's probably going to be a fairly cagey game to begin with. And then that first goal will be absolutely huge, because if Leipzig score first, United have to come out a little bit, and then Leipzig can do what they did so well on Saturday night. If, however, United score, as they did it at Old Trafford, it'll be, I think, very difficult then for Leipzig to keep going without opening up too early. So it's going to be very, very tense and a very interesting game.
Okay. Leipzig have conceded 6 goals in their last 2 matches across the Bundesliga and Champions League. And they'll be without Dayot Upamecano in this game as well. He's suspended, Rafa.
Yeah, that's right. Bad news.
Well, a draw would be enough for Leipzig if Başakşehir beat Paris Saint-Germain in the other game on Tuesday. What about it, Jules?
It would be very PSG-like, wouldn't it, if they were not to qualify now, or something happened after the last 2 games that they won against Leipzig and against Manchester United. Tuchel rested a lot of the players at the weekend. Mbappé, we said, just came on late. No Marquinhos, no Verratti, no Neymar. So you expect them to at least be fresh and fit, ready to go. Başakşehir are not the same team away than they are at home. So hopefully for PSG, they can get the job done and finish top of the group. I think that's the objective for them now.
Okay. You were at Old Trafford on Wednesday, Jules. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was very good. Thank you very much. It was great. It was my first time as pitchside reporter for any television, in this case French TV, which was very interesting. And I was right by the PSG bench as well. So the way they played, I thought it was a fantastic game, really, that could have gone United's way, and I don't think we'd have any debate. I'm glad Ole Gunnar Solskjaer messed it up completely by leaving Fred on the pitch. I think that helped PSG massively. But yeah, it was a game they had to win, and they did, so it was very good for them.
Wow, that must have been quite a special sight. You and the Paris Saint-Germain bench. Were you tempted to go and sit down?
I punched the air with my fist on the third goal, and then Paredes and Verratti were also celebrating throwing water. So I got a bit of shy, got showered a little bit, but that was worth it. That was good.
Okay. Başakşehir actually gave RB Leipzig a bit of a scare last time out with that extraordinary 4-3 in Istanbul, with Kvecci with that hat trick. Anyone fancy their chances of springing an upset at the Parc des Princes? I'll move on then. Now, Group F on Tuesday. Dortmund are through, although not mathematically certain, of top spot. And Lazio Bruges is a dramatic playoff for the other spot. Hey, James Horncastle, Lazio Bruges. Lazio will go through if they don't lose at home to Bruges. What do you think?
Well, they haven't lost in the Champions League this season, so that's already a pretty good omen. And I think that, you know, Lazio put in some gutsy performances so far. They've had to match day 2, match day 3 away in Bruges and in St. Petersburg. They were without their best players because of this COVID-19 fiasco that they were embroiled in. They now have their best players available pending the latest round of UEFA testing, but they don't seem to be the kind of inconsistencies that they were early on in the campaign. But they looked very poor at the weekend, to be honest. I think that's because their mind was on this game. They were playing Spezia, a newly promoted side in Cesena, and they got things done fairly early. Immobile scoring in his 8th consecutive game. Milinkovic scoring a free kick, which is now becoming a bit of a trademark of his. But aside from that, they were lucky to get the win. I think they would have been lucky to get a point given the chances that Spezia had. But, you know, I think as with a lot of the teams involved in the Champions League, their ups and downs domestically are in part because of the fatigue that has built up and because they're very much focused on these games. So Bruges, I think, still scratching their heads as to why they didn't win the reversed fixture, because they certainly had enough chances to do that. Lazio digging in. I expect Lazio will win this, come through it, get what they need, and qualify for the first time in a long time, which I think of all the Italian coaches involved in the Champions League so far, I think Simone Inzaghi is probably impressed the most, because 13 years outside of the Champions League, he's got them back into it, and it looks like they're going to get out of the group straight away as well. And they've done it in really adverse circumstances. So not wanting to get ahead of myself, but, you know, I think I'd anticipate that Lazio get through this.
All right. Bruges, of course, with that mighty 3-0 victory over Zenit St. Petersburg in the last match day. So they are a dangerous outfit. And, of course, we all recall their remarkable first-half performance away at the Bernabeu last season when they took that 2-0 lead against Real Madrid, ultimately ending up with a draw, which wouldn't be enough for them this time, of course. All right, well, that's on Tuesday. Dortmund, meanwhile, will be at Zenit St. Petersburg looking to wrap up top spot. And we move on to Group G, where the battle for first place sees Barcelona hosting Juventus. Alvaro, you mentioned it at the top. It's been another dramatic week for the Catalans.
It has been a bad week for Barcelona. It all started with the report saying from Barcelona Press and then later confirmed by the interim president that Barcelona players won't be paid in January. They get two payslips a year, and the one that they should get in January 2021 is going to be postponed. So that is the financial state of the club, and the sports state of the club is not very good either. I mean, it's a little bit of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde case here, because in La Liga, Barcelona is pretty bad. I mean, they have collected only 4 points away from home so far. This weekend they lost against Cádiz, but now they are playing against Juventus, and probably one of the biggest games to endorse Ronald Koeman's case is the one against Juventus back in October when Barcelona won 2-0. The result was so good that Barcelona can even lose this time against Juve by a 1-goal margin, and they will still go through as first of the group. But there are many, many problems at Barcelona that haven't been solved. As you know, they do many innocuous passes, then the pressure up front doesn't work very well. Everything relies on Messi, but Messi, when he doesn't play well, he's a bit desperating, really, losing many balls as well. The other day against Cádiz, he lost 29. And the best thing for Barcelona at this stage, as I said a couple of weeks ago, is to make sure that they arrive in March with all their options intact. But they will have to rush as well and hurry up, because in La Liga at the minute they are very far away from the top, 12 points away from Atletico de Madrid. But these games against Juventus can be a rebirth for Barcelona. The Champions League is giving them some air, and I believe that Juventus is not the Juventus they were a couple of years ago, James can say. So I think that this game is going to be quite tight again.
Well, they're not the same Juventus they were 2 months ago, because compared to that game, they've got a big name back, haven't they, James?
Yeah, Cristiano will get to play against Messi, which, you know, all the build-up for the first game was kind of put on ice when he was when he tested positive for COVID-19. There's been a lot of debate in Italy about how dependent Juventus are on Ronaldo. I think the weekend again showed that to be a load of rubbish, because he was playing again and wasn't able to impact the game against Torino. Probably the worst performance Juventus have put in since that Barcelona game. I'd say it was even worse than that, with fewer excuses, because they were playing against... They won, but they were playing against a weaker opponent, a team that can't hang on to a lead for Toffee. It's given up 19 points from winning positions so far this season, Torino. We're only 10 games in. And Torino neutered them, certainly for the first hour. You know, Juventus had one attempt on target, came on the 43rd minute. It was Paulo Dybala from outside the box. Dybala, again, a shadow of himself from last season. And I'm worried about Juventus. You know, as much as this would ordinarily be seen as a great opportunity to capitalize on a Barcelona side that is in its worst crisis for a long, long time, they don't look like they're in a position to do that, James. Still very much a work in progress, even with Matthijs de Ligt back, for example. I mean, one thing that is encouraging for them is their defence should be a lot stronger than the one that faced Barcelona in the reverse fixture, because they've got de Ligt back. Bonucci's healthier than he was. Bonucci got the winner in the Turin derby, stoppage time won, as is the case frequently in that rivalry of late. They were unable to create many clear-cut chances. Again, Juan Cuadrado being the main difference maker for the team, got a couple of assists. He's got 4 in the Champions League this year. So I'm pretty sure, you know, a lot of Barcelona's attention is, if you stop Cuadrado, then you can pretty much stop Juventus at this moment in time. But they have to win 3-1, as kind of Alvaro was alluding to, in order to win the group.
Right.
I'd have backed them to do that under Allegri. I find it hard to back them to do that under Pirlo, but yeah, I'd like to be surprised.
Okay. Barcelona, the only club in the Champions League with a 100% winning record at the moment. They are, I think, getting one or two players back from injury at the back. This, as you mentioned, the clash between Ronaldo and Messi, potentially the first meeting of the two on the field since 2011, and quite possibly the last time we'll see them face-to-face in a competitive football engagement. Crikey. Alvaro, just returning to Barcelona's problems off the field, I noticed that acting president Carlos Tusquets called it the worst situation in the club's history.
Yeah.
The club has been left virtually ruined by former president Bartomeu.
Yeah.
They've lost more than 300 million euros in the past year. If they hadn't postponed players' salaries, they wouldn't have made it till the end of the year. There is no money. And the little chaser on this, it would have been better if we'd sold Lionel Messi. Ha. Huh. Well, just what's the kind of future then? Because there were these comments from Neymar last week about how he'd like to play with Messi again next season. And I think some people thought, oh, is he going back to Barcelona then? But what are the chances of the pair of them ending up in Paris?
Well, I can answer for Neymar's chances of going back to Barcelona, which are very little, 0% almost, because Barcelona cannot afford Neymar's salary unless they get rid of Messi, which is something that I don't think is going to happen yet. Even though, let me tell you, Jens, I think that an interim president cannot go out there to media and talk about how bad Barcelona is financially. I think that he should be definitely more discreet, especially in the context of some elections that will happen at the end of January. At the minute, the situation in Barcelona is as it is. I mean, the club is financially suffering a lot. There is a debt that apparently goes beyond the 600 million threshold. They have lost a lot of money in the match day revenue, and because they cannot, there are no fans in the stands, and the Spanish government so far doesn't think that it would be a good idea to have some fans back, not even a limited number. And the club's museum as well, which is a cash cow for Barcelona, has been closed since March. So the finances are what they are. And this is going to be very difficult to overturn that. And every candidate that wants to be next Barcelona president, contrary to some other times, they are not talking about who they are going to sign. They are not making electoral promises, you know, as Joan Laporta, for example, did in 2003 when he said that he had signed David Beckham, which was not true, but then he came up with Ronaldinho and that was fine. This time, no candidate is promising any players because they all want to know exactly what's going on with the finances, how bad they are. And then they will see what they can do. But the priority number one for some of the candidates, like Victor Font, who seems to be the favorite with Joan Laporta, is to extend Lionel Messi's contract. But at the same time, on the basis of Messi's performances, especially away from home, offering him a new contract worth 50 million after tax a year doesn't seem to be the best idea. So, you know, there are many decisions to make, and selling Lionel Messi, as hard as it sounds, has to be one of those things that Barcelona, the next president, will have to ponder just to get Barcelona's finances right, or at least to get a bit closer to the stability of the club.
Jules, did you not speak to Neymar after the Manchester United game? And he basically said, come on, Messi, come play for PSG.
Yeah, he didn't say that to me. We didn't have him post-match, but obviously that line that he gave to ESPN Argentina was big. And it's very, it's actually both simple and complicated for PSG. I think they will look into it, but it looks very, 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 very difficult to do because financially, even if Messi decides to leave and he will leave on a free because his contract finishes in June, he still, as Alvaro said, has a huge, huge wages, you know, over 50 million net. So that's 110 million gross a year, which is a lot of money to find. The only way I think we don't take any risk by saying that having all of Neymar, Mbappe and Messi in the same team financially is, I can't see how PSG can do it. I think it might be down to either you sell Mbappe to get Messi, or you keep Mbappe and Neymar and you don't go for Messi, because financially I don't think you can have three in your team. But I'm not even sure anyone can afford Kylian Mbappe right now, even with just 1 year left on his contract. I don't think Real Madrid have much money. I don't think Liverpool have that kind of money right now either available. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's interesting.
But Messi then, is he going to end up unemployed, do you think? Because Barcelona can't keep him, PSG can't afford him. What's going to happen?
If only Moratti was still president of Inter. This is the sort of thing Moratti would do. Mm-hmm.
You can go for him and take a gamble. I think that's what Barca would have to do. You take a loan. I don't know. You find some money somewhere, even if you pay back later or something.
All right.
I think the difference for Barcelona, though, it would be easier for them because they would still be okay with financial fair play. For any other team, especially the big one who already have a big wage bill, taking on Messi even on a free as a free agent, you know, as we said, you add 110 million gross a year on your wage bill, which is already big if you talk about clubs like Juventus or PSG or even English clubs. And I think then straight away you're in trouble with financial fair play. So on that level, it'd be easier for Barca to keep him than for anybody else to try to get him.
Well, I'm looking forward to all the months to come of Messi speculation. But Alvaro, just on Tuesday's game, how optimistic are you that, as James was suggesting, Juve won't be able to wreck Barca's top spot or indeed perfect record in the Champions League?
Well, I think that it's very difficult for Juventus to beat Barcelona by a big margin. I do believe that because Juventus doesn't look good at the minute. Barcelona is a hit and miss. They can produce really good performances or also abysmal ones like the one against Cadiz or going back the one against Atletico de Madrid. I believe, though, that they are going to end up top in the group. I'm pretty sure about that because still they have been able in the Champions League to show glimpses of how good they could be if they kept the focus for 90 minutes.
I think if there's a Juventus player to make a mark in this game, it is your namesake, Alvaro Morata, who will be back from suspension. He missed the game at the weekend. He's been absolutely sensational. 8 goals, 3 assists, complete centre-forward at Juventus at the moment. And has a good record on nights like this. Remember, he scored 6 Champions League goals so far in the group stages this season. And that, I think, matches. The last player to do that at Juventus was Trezeguet. So very much the man in form.
All right.
He scored against Barcelona in the Champions League final as well. So he knows how to do that.
In a 3-1 defeat.
Excellent. Well, much to look forward to then at the Camp Nou on Tuesday. Very shortly, we'll move on to Wednesday's fixtures.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic, this is the Totally Football Show with James Richardson.
Rafa, before we get on to Wednesday's Champions League fixtures, tell us about the Berlin Derby this weekend. How, for example, are Hertha doing with their plan to dominate world football in the next 5 seasons?
It's been a slow procession towards that global dominance. They've had a pretty poor start, marooned in mid-table. And they're going into this derby on Friday night very much the underdog, James, because Union Berlin had been riding high, close to the Champions League places, and had, as we said, in midfield, Max Kruse scoring all these goals, and Union playing even the better football, which is something that I don't think has ever happened in the history, limited history, of those two being in a similar space at the same time. But of course, it happened very differently as expected. Union did take the lead, but then Robert Andrich was sent off for a challenge, which went badly wrong. He basically kicked somebody in the head by mistake. And then the game completely swung round in the second half with Hertha scoring 3 goals. Piontek played quite well. He got the second one. And Union kind of ran out of steam, unfortunately. So not the derby that most people thought they would get, but a timely win for Hertha nevertheless.
Mm, okay. Jules from Ligue 1, Nice, who were knocked out of the Europa League last Thursday by Bayer Leverkusen in what was their 5th loss in a row in all competitions. And the very next day, Patrick Vieira was told to clear his desk.
Indeed, James. I mean, we saw it coming. I think even he knew they had been really poor in Europe. They got completely humiliated by Bayer in the reverse fixture. And they've been poor as well in the league. And it was not really what the ambitions of the owner, one of the richest men in the world as well, wanted. So, and it's not so much even that, because sometimes you can play well and not have the result, but they were not even playing well when they clearly have very talented players, young players who are really good, but also experienced players. I think it's a good balance in that squad. They should do far better in the content, in the performances, but also the result than what they had under Vieira. It's a shame because I would have liked him to do well, and he's a nice guy, but it was just not working out for him. And I think that was the only really option that they had, was to sack him. Osea, his assistant, who was also Lucien Favre's assistant when Favre was at the club, has taken over. And already we saw the weekend against Reims that it was not great, but they kept a clean sheet. It was a draw. They played a bit better already, different formation, and they've all forgotten Patrick Vieira already.
Crikey. What a ruthless game this is.
It is.
Mm. James, you mentioned Milan earlier on, and they're 5 points clear and singing their way home after their victory at Sampdoria. But what news of their old owner, Silvio Berlusconi, and his attempts to reconquer Serie A with second division side Monza?
Well, what a ruthless game this is, James, he said, but also it is a game that gives you second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances.
Great.
Because Mario Balotelli, after being a free agent for the last, 4 or 5 months, has been told by Adriano Galliani, former chief executive of Milan, now chief executive Monza, that this is your last chance, Mario, your last chance to show that you are as good as everyone thinks you are. Come and join our project in the second division. You'll partner Kevin Prince-Boateng up front. Monza were promoted last year. You mentioned the Berlusconi connection and how, you know, he's taking his quote-unquote hometown club back to the top flight, and you know, they aspire to basically play at San Siro. But it hasn't gone great for them so far in Serie B, even though they've assembled a team that is better than some of the newly promoted sides on paper that have come up to Serie A this year. I mean, we can focus on Balotelli and Boateng, but they've signed, you know, sort of Brazil under-21 internationals. They've signed some of the best Italy under-21 internationals, some of whom on loan. They've got a Portugal under-21 international. It's a really good team on paper, but they lost 3-0 at the weekend to Reggiana, the same day that they announced the Balotelli signing. And yeah, I think in some respects it reflects the ambition that this Monza side keeps showing, that they don't want to hang around in the second division. Balotelli will have a contract until the end of this season. If things go well, then it'll get extended. Of course, that was also the case at his hometown club Brescia last season, and they ended up kind of threatening legal action at each other because during lockdown, Brescia alleged that Balotelli was not attending training sessions, but I think they just wanted maybe to get out of the contract that they'd signed with him, which was a one-year rolling one. But hopefully, Balotelli can absolutely light it up in Serie B. Monza is going to definitely be one of the stories to follow over the next 6 months.
Brilliant. All right. Balotelli and Boateng up front in Serie B. By the way, if you're hungry for more Italian talk, let me just quickly mention that there's a new Golazzo out this Wednesday morning, which James and myself have a bit of a chat about the extraordinary career, or careers even, of Sinisa Mihalovic. Next up, Wednesday.
Well, the fans who are back in the ground today for the first time are making a lot of noise, despite being spread out all the way from pitch side to the highest tier.
Yeah, I'm not sure they should be there, Mark.
Why is that, Steve?
Well, you're not allowed to watch a game in the highest tier, are you?
Stadiums might not yet be full, but Paddy Power's offers are at full capacity. If one leg of your 4+4 Acca lets you down, get a free bet on all football and all markets. The Acca Cracker from Paddy Power. Max free bet £10. Min odds 1-5 on each leg. Online exclusive. Exclude shop bets. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show from Muddy Knees Media and The Athletic.
Wednesday, we've got Group A teams, B, C and D. Hey, the A teams. Jules, this is a really shameless segue, but just before we started recording, you dropped an info bombshell on us that left us all reeling. To wit, that this piece of music, bam, ba-dum, bam, 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 ba-dum, bam, bam, ba-dum, bam, bam, right, listener? In France, had lyrics to it. Come on, Jules, how did they go? This is the A-team, by the way, if you're still scratching your head at my rendition.
L'agence touriste, c'est vraiment la dernière chance au dernier moment.
L'agence touriste, c'est vraiment la dernière chance au dernier moment. Les mauvais coups, c'est truant.
But what surprised me is that yes. Today, at the age of 40,
yes.
I discovered that in other countries in the world, there was no words. How sad is that? Well, not that I discovered now, but that you had no words. The words made it all, the tune even better.
Did they? What were those words, Jules?
So Agence Touriste is like the, all risky agency, which is
that's,
the A-team.
It's truly
I thought it was travel agency. Your,
I thought so too, actually. That was a very different show. Yeah, sorry, yeah. And then it's the last chance, I'm saying.
From different series, that.
Yeah.
And then you said that they're your last chance.
At Lastminute.com, yeah, I mean, still travel.
Yeah, yeah, you're there.
Brilliant. Okay. Anyway, let's not talk about Group A. Well, actually, we can, because Bayern Munich are through and confirmed, etc. I tell you who isn't through or confirmed or any of those things is Atletico Madrid, because although they are absolutely flying in La Liga at the moment, a point clear with two games in hand on Real Sociedad, in the Champions League, they're going to be away at RB Salzburg, and if they lose, they're out. Crikey.
Yes, and following the A-team analogy, yep. Atletico Madrid in the league, they are like Mr. T, and in the Champions League, they've been like Murdoch so far, in the sense that they've been a little bit unpredictable, and crazy results, really, because they weren't able to get more than 2 points out of six against the Lokomotiv Moscow, and this is the thing that has made them be in this status now. Basically, they have a difficult game away now. I believe that this is a difficult task for Atletico because it's never a good plan to play for the draw because you never know how much you can defend. They will have to tune their defense and their attack very well in this game. The good thing is that, you know, on the basis of what they have shown in La Liga, they are the best defensive team definitely in Europe. They have conceded only 2 goals in La Liga this season. They have been able to attack better than some other years, with Joao Felix being probably the star of the show. Luis Suarez is back for the game against Salzburg, and even though he didn't look very sharp against Valladolid, Luis Suarez, he will at least become the target man of Atletico de Madrid up front. And then I like the way Thomas Lemar, the French player, is raising his game as well, because he's been a little bit of a punching bag at Atletico de Madrid, and especially the Atletico de Madrid related media, because he haven't replicated the level that he offered at Monaco, but he scored against Valladolid on the weekend and he's been playing much better so far. And of course, there is another player that I cannot forget, because he is probably the key player of Atletico de Madrid with Joao Felix now, a player called Marcos Llorente. He's a fitness crazy, but he is also a football crazy man. I mean, he's been playing really well and he's one hell of a scorer as well, something that a year ago we didn't know.
I thought you were going to say Kieran Trippier, who assisted both goals in the weekend's 2-0 victory over Valladolid.
Yeah, and well, Kieran Trippier is the best right-back that Atletico has, and there is no doubt about it. He has made a huge effort to convince Simeone in the defensive department, and I do believe that right now he is one of the best tools Atletico de Madrid has going forward, because, you know, sometimes the game gets difficult and you need to bring some good things from the flanks, and Kieran Trippier's crosses and also deep passes are always very, very, very clever, and they always find a target. In fact, he gave, as you said, a couple of assists on Saturday, and one of them for Marcos Llorente was very good.
Okay, Atletico can still go through, by the way, on Wednesday with a draw against RB Salzburg. If they do, they'll have qualified for the last 16 by winning just one match out of six in the group stage. I think they'll be the first team ever to achieve that. Of course, following that, next weekend they've got the derby with Real Madrid, who've got a bit of a match on midweek as well. At home to Borussia Mönchengladbach in the extraordinary looking Group B. That's up next.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You're listening to The Totally Football Show, sponsored by Paddy Power.
Group B, everybody. Borussia Mönchengladbach on 8 points. Shakhtar and Real Madrid on 7 points. Inter on 5 points. All four can still go through. Bottom place Inter will be at home to Shakhtar this Wednesday. They must win to stay in Europe. But even if they do, they might not make it into the top two of this group and the last 16 of the Champions League. Because if Real Madrid and Borussia Mönchengladbach draw, both of those teams go through.
Biscotto
alert, exactly. Come on then. Is this going to be one of those white draws? Is this going to be a little bit of a little nod and a wink at the kickoff, Alvaro? What do you think? Rafa.
La maletas.
El maletín, yeah, very good. Jules knows. In Spain we say the briefcase.
Yes.
The briefcase, you know, when and that is something that has happened in Spanish football, when teams got paid by some others to win, to do the job and win.
Right. Rafa, what do they call it in Germany?
We don't have a name for this thing because it doesn't happen in Germany.
What about when the referees get thrown into prison for throwing game?
Yeah, the Häuser one. I mean, sometimes Die Schande von Gijón is being mentioned.
A
reference to the 1982 non-game between Germany and Austria. But yeah, I can only translate Biscotto to you in German, which is, sounds just as beautiful. Keks.
Very nice. So will there be kicks between Real Madrid and Borussia Mönchengladbach this Wednesday?
I don't think so. I mean, a draw is enough to kick out Inter, but it might not be enough for Real Madrid to go through. So I think Real Madrid will play the usual game. They are at home, in inverted commas. So I don't see them playing for a draw. But of course, if late on, it should come to pass that the game is still drawn and it's enough for both teams, then, as is often the case, I think you'll see some kind of subconscious agreement or realization that there's no need now to go out to chase a win on either side. But I think, I mean, Gladbach have been drawing lots of games anyway, so it wouldn't be out of place for them. They drew against Real Madrid earlier. They drew against Inter earlier in the first two meetings of the group stage. They drew at the weekend, 2-2 against Freiburg. So this is very much a result in the vein of their season, if it were to be.
Yeah, they've never made it out of the Champions League group stage. Real Madrid, meanwhile, come into this off the back of a very narrow win away at Sevilla, courtesy of an own goal by Sevilla's goalkeeper, Bounou. They'll have Sergio Ramos back for this game, apparently. Is that right, Alvaro?
Yes, that is right. Sergio Ramos will be back and will play as a centre-back all together with Rafael Varane. So Real Madrid is back to business. They shown that in Sevilla on Saturday, they resemble the team that they became in June and July, a team that started the game with a clean sheet, never conceded, and then they won 1 or 2-0, short margins, but enough to get the 3 points. So they became that Real Madrid against Sevilla, and that was refreshing to see after the terrible game against Shakhtar Donetsk. I think that one of the keys for Real Madrid is Casemiro. If he plays, Real Madrid is a different team. I think that he is the man who makes everything to make more sense. He balances the team. And the likes of Vinicius or Rodrigo together with Benzema, maybe they don't offer a lot in terms of goals, but at the same time they can be dangerous, especially the speed of Vinicius on the left is very good for Real Madrid. And I think that this is the key game for Real Madrid, because if they lose, basically something will happen. Real Madrid will be out of the group stage, and this is something that is unprecedented. And Real Madrid couldn't probably afford, you know, a lack of prestige like this. You know, this is a punch in their history, to their prestige, and probably Zinedine Zidane's future will be hanging from a very thin thread. So I think that this time Real Madrid is going to get the result finally, and they will make progress in the Champions League.
All right, well, we shall see. As we mentioned, they do have the derby coming up with Atletico Madrid, who are 6 points ahead of them in the league and with a game in hand on them as well coming up this weekend. Real Madrid have lost 4 of their last 7 in the Champions League, meanwhile. Huge game coming up then, or possibly not, depending on the result between Inter and Shakhtar. Of course, it was 0-0 in Ukraine in the match day 2 clash. But previous to that, in the semi-finals of the Europa League, back in August, it was 5-0 to Inter, with Lukaku bossing it. And he was back on the score sheet this weekend as they beat Bologna 3-1. A couple of goals from Hakimi as well. Are we going to see that kind of rampaging Nerazzurri performance, do you think, against Shakhtar?
Well, I mean, they deserve to win in Kiev. They hit the bar twice. But, you know, ultimately, they were unable to convert their chances. Yeah, it was quite interesting, the focus on Hakimi over the last week, because Conte had been using Darmian to good effect recently. For example, against Gladbach, Hakimi did come on in that game and set up a goal for Lukaku. But there's a sense that Hakimi hasn't really learnt to defend in the way that Conte is reassured by at the moment. I bet Rafa will love this answer, but at the weekend...
Oh, I know this. Yeah, I've seen it.
Conte said that, you know, the Bundesliga is less tactical than Serie A.
A lot less tactical.
He said less tactical. He said they study teams
no,
less.
No, molto meno tactico, no, he said.
No, calcio meno tattico, ti studiano meno, is what he went for. But luckily, he's now getting a real football education under Conte after playing in clearly a lesser farmers league than France, in Antonio Conte's opinion.
100%.
So I think the issue is that Conte clearly doesn't trust Hakimi when he's up against a player like Marcus Thuram, for example, when he's up against, in the league, some of the top wingers, and he trusts Darmian more. That was the story of the win against Gladbach, is the number of Italians, hard-working Italians in that team, Gagliardini, Barella, as I mentioned, Darmian. But, as you mentioned, James, that 5-0 win was the perfect display from Inter in the Europa League. They need to replicate that. Why should we trust them? Well, Inter haven't given us all that much to trust them by in the Champions League in recent years, going into the final match day with their destiny in their own hands, which isn't the case this time, and blowing up against a Barcelona B team, you know, which sent their kids to play at San Siro because they'd already qualified and Inter couldn't beat them. And then the previous season, when all they had to do, I think, was beat PSV, and they couldn't do that either. So, I think if they were to go through in these circumstances, it would be a big burden lifted at Inter, and on Conte as well. I think it would be a lot more significant than just qualify from the group would ordinarily be for a team of that stature.
Right. Well, they have to win against Shakhtar and then hope that the kicks don't come over at the Alfredo Di Stefano Stadium. All right. One group for us to tell you about. It is, of course, Liverpool's Group D. Liverpool are through. The big clash here is Ajax Atalanta. Oof. 2-2 between these two sides in Bergamo. This weekend, what did Ajax do? They lost at home to 20. Crikey. Atalanta, meanwhile, didn't play because of a waterlogged pitch. Atalanta with a pretty rotten run of form at the moment. Only one win in their last 6 games, and that was at Liverpool. First game between these two was a bit of a special one. What do you all think we're going to be treated to this time around?
Well, 20 is usually the amount of goals Ajax score against domestic opposition. But in this particular case, it didn't work out that way.
Nice, Rafa.
On the one hand, James, it's great that Atalanta basically have got some time to rest and repair and properly prep up on Ajax going into this game. I do think it's a big blow that they've lost Robin Gosens to a COVID-19 positive.
Is that now confirmed? Because I thought he'd had a negative over the weekend that maybe he was back in play.
Well, ultimately, they will undergo testing again. But, you know, whenever someone has had a positive, they tend to sit out the game on the bench and come on later. Yeah, he's so important to them, as we saw against Liverpool. You know, when Atalanta have played without one of him or Hans Hattabor this season, they haven't looked the same side that they did last year. The guys that they brought in to replace Timothy Castagna still haven't really allowed them to play at the same level and let them rest one of Gosens and Hattabor. So I think that's going to be a concern. They'll be sweating on that until the right at the end. But of course, Atalanta this time last year, on match day 6, they went away needing a result against Shakhtar. They got it. They're going away needing a result against Dykes. They can draw and go through. Let's not forget that. And, you know, we shouldn't forget where Atalanta are from as well. As much as they got to the final 8 last year, you know, at the moment, worst case scenario, they finish 3rd and go in the Europa League. They'll still be playing European football come February. I still think for an side with Atalanta's budget, that's a success.
And when it comes to Ajax, it has to be said that if they don't make it through the group stage, it will be the second year in a row that they don't do it. And I think that doesn't do justice to how good this Ajax team has been. In fact, last season they went out just because they screw up at Stamford Bridge with 2 players sent off. And I think that they level on points with Valencia and Chelsea, but they didn't go through due to the head-to-head difference. And this year, I mean, it's very easy to remember individual mistakes like Tagliafico scoring an own goal against Liverpool at Amsterdam, or the other day Onana making a massive mistake at Anfield, you know. So they've been really good, but the individuals have made key mistakes in key moments. But this Ajax team is still a very, very good team, and they are not even naive in defense, because they are one of the best defenses in Europe when it comes to their domestic record as well. So I think they are very well balanced.
Well, it's going to be a huge game on Wednesday night, Ajax hosting Atalanta, two of the most attractive teams to watch in the European game. Anyway, that is your Tuesday and Wednesday previews from the Champions League. Of course, Thursday, we'll see the Europa League have its final group stage games. 6 places in the last 32 are still available. As you probably know, Rangers, Arsenal, Spurs and Leicester are through. Celtic are out. Arsenal looking to achieve their 6th victory in 6 as they take on Irish champions Dundalk. You've got Dinamo Zagreb, who are looking to go through the entire group stage without conceding a single goal. Of the teams still vying for a place, probably match of the week, just to finish off on this, in the Europa League, would be Napoli-Real Sociedad, would you say?
Absolutely, yeah. Totally.
All right, then. Napoli drew 1-1 with AZ Alkmaar last time out, which has let the Dutch side back into the mix for making it out of the group. But they also got the 1-0 win away at Real Sociedad in San Sebastian. What are the prospects this time, James and Alvaro? And is this going to be after Tuesday and Wednesday, should we tune in for this on Thursday?
Yes, I'll be very quick here. Real Sociedad has to match what AZ Alkmaar does against Rijeka, which is not going to be easy. Also because Silva and Oyarzabal may not be ready for the game. They are still in the sidelines and they are probably the most important players of Real Sociedad. And also, they are playing at the Diego Armando Maradona ground, and Real Sociedad is going to find it very complicated to go through this time. They've been exceptional in the league so far, but you can see a little bit of a dip in their form over the last 2-3 weeks, and this time they are playing against Napoli. It's a tough task for Real Sociedad, definitely.
Okay, nice early adoption of the new San Paolo nomenclature there. Napoli coming off a mighty 4-0 win over Crotone at the weekend, James.
Yeah, and you know, if they hadn't had a point docked and had actually got to play that game against Juventus, who knows where they'd be? They're only 5 points off the top at the moment. They would be a lot closer, and their form has certainly suggested that they are a title contender this year. They've won their last 2 games 4-0, and that's been without their €70 million signing Victor Osimhen as well. So really impressive to see Gattuso kind of stick with this 4-2-3-1, pushing Zielinski behind Mertens or whoever it is up front. Zielinski nutmegging his man and then passing Insigne to score kind of Del Piero-esque goal at the weekend. So Napoli in great form. But they are coming up against what? Probably the best defensive side in La Liga at the moment.
Second best.
But I think from a XG point of view, in terms of the chances that the Real Sociedad are giving up, they're fewer and of less quality than some of the others. So it should be a really good game.
And Jens, you should know as well that the Real Sociedad, in attack, they don't score as many goals as they actually try to score. They miss a lot of chances, and it happened on Sunday against Alaves as well. Isak had two clear chances, also Portu, also William Jose. But for one reason or another, I think their XG when it comes to scoring is also a little bit below par.
All right, well, they better not be below par when they visit the San Paolo, soon to be Diego Armando Maradona Stadium on Thursday. That is your midweek schedule, listen. I hope that's been of some use. And that's where we come to the end of this Totally Football Show Euro edition. Of course, some of us will be there at various times on Tuesday and Wednesday with the Goal Show on BT Sport. Early, we'll be on early on Tuesday with the Lazio game against Bruges. So I do hope you join us for that. For now, many, many thanks to producer Charlie, Rafa, James, Jules and Alvaro. And you, listener, do have a great week. We'll speak to you next time.
You've been listening to The Totally Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything Totally at thetotallyfootballshow.com and follow us at The Totally Show on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of The Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on The Athletic app. The Totally Football Show is a Muddy Knees Media production and sponsored by Paddy Power.
Muddy Knees Media.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.